إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, we were talking about the issue of resilience and the issue of responding to calamities and responding to trials and tribulations. And resilience consists of three things simultaneously. And these three things are in some ways paradoxical because they seem to be almost opposites of each other. But it's if you want to be resilient and if you want to be able to face calamities and difficulties with equanimity, then it's important to be able to do these three things. I'll mention the three and we'll talk about one today. The three things is, first is to face the brutal facts, is to actually face the facts, not pretend it's not happening or, so face the brutal facts, number one. Number two is to have complete and total faith on eventual success. No matter how bad the facts are, to have complete faith in eventual success. And three is to make sense out of the confusion or the mess that we might be in. So three very important things. And as I said, they're in a way they seem to be paradoxical. Face the brutal facts, have complete faith in eventual success, and make sense out of what is going on. Now this is, interestingly, this methodology is applicable whether it's individual matter in a family, for example, a family conflict. It's also applicable at a global macro level in terms of countries and so on, or like we are talking in terms of the whole Muslim Ummah. So the method works in micro or macro situations. You take the first one and look at ourselves, facing the brutal facts. What are the brutal facts with regard to the Muslim Ummah today? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Zahara al-fasadu fil barri wal bahri bima kasabat aydi an-nas liyuziqahu ba'd alladhi 'amilu la'allahum yarji'un." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the fasad and the trials and tribulations and difficulties and calamities which are spread on the sea and on the land are the result of the actions of people. "Zahara al-fasadu fil barri wal bahri bima kasabat aydi an-nas." This is the result of the actions of that come from the hands of people, aidinnas. So therefore, we have to look at our own actions. Very important. Because we know, and this is a fact, and this is also, alhamdulillah, our belief, that la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, that nothing happens without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever is happening, whether it is good or bad, it is happening because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is permitting it, is allowing it to happen. And as I said yesterday, there is no sense in going into the argument of saying, why is Allah allowing? Leave that aside. Why is Allah allowing? We know in the light of the kalam of Allah. And why is Allah allowing? What is the kalam of Allah saying? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? This is the ayah from Surah Ar-Rum. Allah said it is happening because of your actions. And why is it happening? Allah said, so that we can give you a taste. A taste, not the full meal, so that we can give you a taste of the result of your actions. بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا. That also not all the actions, some of the actions. We can give you a taste of some of the actions, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, so that you will return towards us. So this is happening because of our actions, and it is happening because of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where He is giving us a small taste of the punishment to come for such actions, if we do not leave these actions and if we do not turn towards Allah. So no matter how painful this particular situation, whichever it is that we are talking about, might be, the reality is that the result of our actions, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not given us this taste and if He had allowed us to continue the way we are continuing, the result would have been far worse. Far, because that result is forever. In the akhirah, if we get caught, that is forever. This one ends, that one will not end. So this is very important. Why is it happening? Because of our own actions. Now what are our actions? Just look at the Muslim Ummah. May Allah protect us. Just to give you one example, I was speaking at the at an international seminar in international convention in Malaysia last week, and at my that particular lecture was a lecture on parenting. So I talked about the rights of parents and the rights of the right of the children, that they should be that proper tarbiyah should be given to them, and that the parent, that the children must respect the parents, and so on and so on. That lecture was there. So after the lecture, we opened the house, opened the floor for question and answers. And because it's a huge hall, it has a seating capacity of over 3,000 people. So we said, if you have people writing slips and walking up and down those stairs and everything, it takes too long. So we gave them a phone number. I had the phone. And we said, WhatsApp your questions. So I was getting the WhatsApp questions, which is, I think, an interesting way of doing things. Yeah, very high tech. So I was getting questions. And I got a question that I was completely zapped. I'm talking about what's happening in the Muslim woman. When I read the question, my mind went blank. And then I must have looked, zapped. So then I said, I have a question here, and I'm not even sure whether I should read this question aloud. So I get a message saying, please read it aloud. What was the question? The question was, I am the mother of two teenage boys. Their father engages in gay activities, homosexual activities. How can I ask those boys to respect their father? This is a Muslim mother talking about her Muslim husband. I am a mother of two teenage boys. My husband engages in homosexual activities. How can I ask, or how can I get my sons to respect their father? What is the answer to this question? When I read this thing, I said, Wallah, Subhanallah, this is the state. And believe me, if I can say that is one single isolated example, you know, and I know it's not an isolated example. This example, may Allah protect us. I will not be surprised if we have similar examples in every community of Muslims anywhere in the world. This is not that there is one evil person somewhere. We are like this. May Allah protect us. We are like this. If it is not happening in our house, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, may Allah protect us. But this does not mean it is not happening in our community. These things are happening in our community. It starts small. The disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is like, there is a famous saying that a loaf of bread, you can only make out when the first slice is cut. After that, you cannot make out how many slices were cut. Because the first slice, because of the ends of the bread, right? The crust, when you cut the first slice, you can make out that the crust is not there, one slice has been cut. But once you start cutting, you do not know, you cannot say two slices were cut or three or four. Right? I always give this example of becoming insensitive to something. And the example I always give, many of you have heard me, that I have said that if you go into an operating theater, now you might be 6 feet 6 inches tall and 4 feet wide, and you know, you might be built like a house or whatever. But if you go into an operating theater and if you are not used to the sight of blood, the moment the surgeon makes an incision and blood spurts out, you will collapse. You will simply faint. Right? You cannot take the sight of that blood. But in the same operating theater will be one of our Malayali nurses who is 4 foot nothing. She will be perfectly happy. She will be passing the implements to the doctor. And when the surgeon has completed the operation, she will wash up and she will have a nice meal. It will not affect her appetite. It will affect nothing. Why? Because she is used to that. She has been seeing it over and over and over. So that sensitivity to blood has gone. She is not sensitive anymore. Alhamdulillah, this is good. We don't want all the nurses fainting everywhere in the theatres. But my point is, that is exactly what has happened to us with regard to sin. We have become insensitive to sin. It starts small. It starts with one song, it starts with one ghazal, it starts with one music, it starts with something which on the face of it we can say, why should we become so rigid, and what is this unnecessary extremism, and you know, if somebody listens to a ghazal, if there is some music, what is so bad about it? Nothing is so bad about it, but you have opened a door. And that door, this is not where it ends. This is where it begins. And where it ends, only Allah knows. So I mentioned only one example, but our Muslim Ummah today is full of shirk, is full of bid'at, it is full of haram, it is full of interest dealings, it is full of all kinds of shamelessness and all kinds of promiscuity. Every single sin that is happening on the face of the earth is also happening among the Muslims. I am not exaggerating, you know this and I know this. And remember, let us remember and recall that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the past destroyed entire communities for committing one sin. What was the sin of the people of Shuaib alayhi salam? That they used to measurements, that their measurement was wrong. Like they used to deceive the customers and they used to, one sin. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the entire community. Do we measure correctly or do we deceive people? I mean, what is the situation of the Muslim today? Can you say that a Muslim will not deceive? Can we say this? Lut alayhi salam, that whole community, what was their sin? Homosexuality. One sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the entire community. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nuh alayhi salam, what was the sin of those people? Idol worship, shirk. Maybe they were nice people. Maybe those people used to weigh correctly and maybe those people did not indulge. But one thing they did. Today, may Allah protect us. We have everything, collective sins of, you know, whatever. We have shirk, we have bidah, we have this. And believe me, it is not sufficient for us to feel satisfied and say, mai to nahi kar raha, I am not doing in my house. That is not enough. That is not enough because the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come on the collective. They do not come on the individual. And that's the reason why also it is important to keep on doing the work of dawah and keep on warning the people. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said two things. He said, one, as long as there are warners, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not set azab. He will hold the azab. As long as people are warning, as long as somebody is standing there and saying, this is wrong, that person, you may hate the person, but because of that person, the azab is not coming on your head. This is one thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save. Second thing is, when the time comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save those warners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save those people who were standing up for the truth. But other than that, the azab of Allah, when it comes on everybody. Collective, the collective is very important. And that is the, so in terms of resilience, very important for us. Stop blaming the world. Stop saying that this is happening because of the Jews or the Americans or this or that or the other. No Jew, no American, no atheist, no Hindu, no BJP, no Bajrang Dal, no nobody can move a finger without the hukum and without the permission and the quwwat and taqat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can do anything without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if they are doing it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is empowering them to do that. And the ayat of Surah Al-Isra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this very clearly. He said that when you exceeded limits, we sent our slaves who were strong in war. Who are these people? These were the Romans. And these were the, under Nebuchadnezzar, they were the under his rule, his army, who were all mushrikeen. Right? They were all mushrikeen. And they came against the Muslims of the time. They came against the Muslims of the time. And they entered Jerusalem, they entered the masjid and they completely destroyed. And at the time of the second invasion of Jerusalem, in the time of Titus, the complete city was leveled. And the masjid of Sulaiman alayhi salam, what they call the temple of Solomon, that was completely leveled. And they took away everything from there. And that's when the Colosseum was built in Rome. With that money, with that gold and so on and so forth, which they had in that temple, the Colosseum in Rome was built at that time. Why? Who sent? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying very clearly in Surah Al-Isra, in Surah Bani Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly, we sent them. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send mushrikeen against the Muslims and allows, gives victory to them and allows them to slaughter the Muslims and to take their women and children as slaves. So let us not forget this and let us not fool ourselves and say that, you know, the state of the Muslim Ummah is because of this, because it's because of us. It is because of us, and this is a warning sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu. Today we are in a state where Muslim children and women and men are being slaughtered. And who is funding that? Muslims. Muslims are funding them. They are giving money in billions of dollars. You go and beg for $10 for a matter of khair, you will not get it. But billions of dollars are being given to those people who are slaughtering Muslims. Who is giving them? Muslims are giving. And to top it all, Muslims, so-called ulama, so-called scholars, are speaking in favor of those who are funding the slaughter of Muslims. So what do we say? So let us face the brutal facts. This is our situation. Tomorrow, inshallah, we'll look at what else to do. But let us not fool ourselves. This mess that we are in, we created it. The punishment that we are receiving, we deserve it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving it to us. And alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, because this is a wake-up call. If we still don't wake up, then that's a different matter. But those who wake up and turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this inshallah will become a source of mercy and a source of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us among those who heed the warnings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are not blind to the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ أَزْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ ثُمَّ عَارَضَ عَنْهَا إِنَّا مِنَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُنْتَقِمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, who is worse, who is a bigger zalim than the one who, when he is presented with the ayat of Allah, he turns away. And very well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take revenge, muntaqimun, intiqam, from the mujrimun, from the people who insist on committing sin. We ask Allah to make us among those who heed the warnings and who will not turn away and who will not try to justify evil actions, and who turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.